EMSradio.com.
EMS information for the next generation.
The EMS Garage is a production of EMSradio.com. You can find us on Facebook, just search EMS Garage. You can find us on Twitter at EMS Garage. Email us, emsgarage@gmail.com, or call us, 303-720-6001.
This episode of the EMS Garage is brought to you by Audible.com. Over 85,000 titles to choose from in every genre: thrillers, business, romance, comedy, sci-fi, and more. Get a free audiobook download for your MP3 or iPod. Just go to www.audibletrial.com/EMS Garage.
The EMS Garage.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the EMS Garage. We've got to wait. Oh, we got the bridge. Okay, good. All right.
Garage. We're in slow motion.
All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the EMS Garage and
the Medicast.
Right on. Double edition. Super spectacular
finale episode.
End of the thing.
I'm sorry it's over.
I know.
It has been an amazing time here at EMS today, 2011. I want to, you know, we're here in the Allied Tech podcast studio.
Yes.
And we're grateful to Allied Tech to be sponsoring the show, but just so much going on here at the event. And Chris, it's always great to see you. And you'll head back to Colorado. I'll be here in Maryland, and we won't see each other till the next event.
But I know.
Just so many things going on. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But right. I know. Aladtech provided us with so many things and supported us for the podcast studio today and sponsored this particular episode. And I was amazed at the things that this particular piece of software could do.
I know. It's cool.
So I thought we'd maybe I think they have a guest.
They do have a guest, yes. Andy, so tell us who you are, where you're from, and what you do.
My name is Andy Lovell. I'm the Chief of Emergency Medical Service for the County of Gloucester. We are the first county-based EMS system in the state of New Jersey, so we're a little slower than the rest of the world at trying to figure out how to do that. But we proudly serve about 200,000 residents with 230 employees responding from 10 stations throughout the county.
Wow. I bet that's hard to manage their schedule.
It certainly presents unique challenges.
Sure.
And we use a product called EMS Manager to do that for us, but it does much more than just manage a schedule for us.
Right. So tell us some of the features that you guys are using from the EMS Manager.
Well, it's an online or web-based service, which means we're able to distribute the information immediately. Once we post it, everybody has that information. So whereas prior to this type of application, we'd have to go post a schedule in 10 different locations, and literally by the minute we would post the schedule, it was out of date.
Sure.
We were making changes based on that.
Because you got that call like, oh, can you get my request to be off next Saturday? Mm. And all that stuff happens.
Or my mother's sister's grandmother's aunt had this opportunity, and now I need to take time off. We're able to do all that in real time now. And probably one of the unique features, or one of the things that really saves us time, is you can do all that now on a smartphone. So if one of our guys wants to submit his availability, if he wants to request time off, if he wants to request a trade, he doesn't have to go to a desktop application. He can do that right from his smartphone. And on my side of it, or on any administrator's side of it, I don't have to sit down to my desktop to manage that. I'll get an email that says, you know, here's the trade request, here's the other side of it, I can approve it, the schedule will get updated, the information will get emailed back to, you know, to the two folks that wanted to make the trade, everybody's notified of it, and I've never actually had to log in to do that.
Oh, that's so nice.
It just saves us tremendous amounts of time.
And I know so many managers out there that, you know, once a week they take over the conference room table because of the sheer volume of paper and requests and calendars and things that they have to coordinate. And here it is in one screen on your computer with tabs to go to different things. I was really amazed with the flexibility that it gives, not just to the managers, but a lot of the people listening to this are currently employees, future managers, future supervisors. Clearly, it's a boon to your employees because it gives them a quicker and easier way to reach out and get their schedules arranged.
They can do everything right either from their desktop or from their phone. They can submit their availability. We use a large part-time workforce. About 120 of our staff members are part-time. So their availability constantly changes. So they can submit all that to us, in either version of the application so that we can make changes based on that. Whereas it used to take, we'd have a call out, and one of the first things you'd have to do would be go find a phone list, start cranking the phone list, looking to fill that out. Literally with 6 or 7 keystrokes, I can now take, look, and see who's got availability for that, send out a page to just that group of individuals with an opening and get a phone call back in a couple of minutes and fill an opening that used to take me hours to fill. We can now fill in minutes. And from my standpoint, unfortunately, one of the jobs that I have to do is be a bean counter.
Right.
From a bean counter standpoint, we're able to lower our operational costs significantly because we're not relying on overtime in cases when we didn't really need it.
And it's streamlining a lot of the things that you would have to do and just take up so much time. That to me is such a it can be a time suck just to fill a shift and get somebody into that. And the streamlining process there is huge.
Well, and the application actually kind of has become the central clearinghouse for all the information within our department. Because besides just the scheduling piece of it, there's a time and attendance piece of it. So as a manager, I can look immediately and see what time everybody punched in, make sure everybody showed up. If there's a call that's been going on since prior to shift change, I'm able to see that somebody's still not punched out yet, which means the call is still going on.
Nice.
So there's an event schedule in there where everybody in the department now becomes aware of all of the events that the department's participating in, not just the ones that they're assigned to it. There's a certification manager, and again, in our world, if I neglect to notice the fact that somebody now has an expired certification, I have a regulatory issue I have to deal with.
Correct.
So this can run reports for me. This notifies me. As soon as I log in, it'll tell me who's coming up for expiration, what the expiration is. So it's just such a huge, huge piece of what we do. One of the neat features, at least as far as we're concerned, is that on the homepage, the thing that the guys see as soon as they log in, you can customize that yourself. So every month we offer a clinical education session, and so we change that every month, all based on what it is we're doing. So all the guy's got to do is open that up, and he's immediately advised of what's going on. If we put a new policy out, we pop that up there for everybody. So it's just it has become kind of the central clearinghouse for everything within our department.
Very cool. Wow.
You say savings. Do you have a number? I mean, are you projecting, or what have you seen? What kind of savings has it brought in for you?
Well, in our department, without this, we would spend the equivalent of 2 FTEs trying to maintain that schedule.
Oh, goodness.
And it's, and we have a mixed workforce. We're predominantly a career department, but we have a significant number of volunteers and interns that participate with us. So trying to stay on top of all that and schedule all of the all of the background piece that goes with that, all the clinical education classes, all the recertification classes, all that stuff, just becomes almost overwhelming. With this, the guys get much more flexibility in determining when they want to take those classes, and we schedule those based on their availability. So instead of 2 FTEs, I've essentially got a half an FTE that maintains
that. So we're talking tens of thousands of dollars when you look at the fact you've got somebody now available to do something else.
And in a public environment, we're a public agency.
Real numbers.
Yeah, there's no public agency right now that's swimming in too many dollars right now, so we have to watch every one of those.
Wow. So when you said when we were talking before the show that it's pretty nice for you because even in the morning, that's the way you check the daily schedule. You know what's going on.
The very first thing, when I jump in my truck in the morning, our guys change shifts at 5 a.m. They do a 13-hour day or an 11-hour night. So they're on the street at 5 o'clock in the morning. At 6 o'clock in the morning is usually when I start my day. The very first thing that I do is log into I log into the MDT in my truck, and that's the very first application I pull up, because if we've had any shift changes overnight, there's a notification already sitting there for me, making me aware of that. And as I say, I can go down real quickly, and I can see if everybody was in on time, because we use the time and attendance, which uses a fingerprint scanner.
And
while that doesn't seem like much,
it's like CIA technology.
Yeah, that's
cool.
Taking
off track.
But you know, and now I'll go back to my experience as an employee before, you know, not being an administrator. You know, we all work remotely. There is no supervisor in our stations. We all know that. And as a professional, you know, I want to get there before. I don't want the guy leaving to go on a call 5 minutes before shift change. So I'm going to try and get there a few minutes early. But if I'm one of those stragglers that doesn't get there till late, yet I write down on a paper time slip that I was there, I'm creating a huge conflict between myself and the other staff member. And that's not a fair position to put either staff member in. The fingerprint scanner doesn't lie. If you're late, you can't cover it up. So it just keeps everybody on their toes, levels the playing field, and candidly, it just lowers the amount of conflicts between the staff members tremendously.
So where can we – so as you look at your service and you look to the future of what you're trying to do, do you have any plans to – you know, can they look at the schedule not only mobily, but do you guys have – MDTs or something that they can keep updated with that? Or how else can you use that?
In all of our stations, we have desktops.
Okay.
Of course,
okay.
They're able to see them there. They can see them from any. I mean, it's a web-based program, so any web browser will take you to that. But our workforce, and you can see it in the MDTs in our trucks. It's just another application that's on there as well, just like charting and everything else. But our workforce is predominantly folks less experienced at life than I am, which is a nice way of saying I'm an old fart and they're much younger than I am. And they're just used to doing everything with their smartphone. You know?
And I think that's the other brilliance of this is it really appeals to, like I always say, I'm older and I kind of get this stuff. But a lot of the people within our workforce already, they're on this thing all the time. I'm on it most of the time, but they live by this, and that to me is just such a nice thing as a manager of an organization too, to be able to say, hey, how can I reach the people that really need to be reached, and that's it right there. So
and one of the things that I have to say about AlladTech is, and we've been a customer with them for a while, and I was a customer with them from another agency that became Gloucester County EMS. Is that there have always been responsive to us every time we've come up with said, hey, you know, this would do this, it would be really nice. And this application is something that was built specifically for EMS scheduling. It's not an adaptation of something coming over from another industry. So lots of folks have come in the door, try to peddle us another product. Mm. But when I start to talk to them about customization and, you know, trying to tweak it so it really is an EMS product, you get lots of pushback. Young, aggressive company, AlladTech, you know, they've been evolving as we went along. And I'm sure not just with us, I'm sure with all the customers that they've got, but it really is an application that's the consolidation of all of us as EMS providers and not somebody sitting in an office saying, this is how you need to do it.
Well, and I think that's cool to be responsive, because I was actually going to say, well, how does this compare to ADP or something like that? And that makes – because we're always trying to take what we do and fit it into something else. And this is nice that there is something built for us, and I really appreciate that. So I know we can find out more information at AlladTech.com.
AlladTech.com.
Yes. And I'm sure they'd be more than happy to give you a demo. We've done a demo for our service, and we're contemplating it for our next budget cycle, because I know that, you know, every time I come in, the scheduler's like this, pulling out her hair, and I think that it's just time. And I don't have 200 and some odd employees. I only have 30, and it makes a lot of sense. Even at that level, it seems to make a lot of sense.
The price is scalable based on the number of employees you have. So I think it's highly affordable. I think it's affordable even for smaller volunteer organizations.
Absolutely.
Because
I think that would be more valuable.
Scheduling duty crews and things like that is such a headache.
Right. Even more valuable.
And especially in a volunteer entity where one of the things you're always looking at is time contributed.
Good point.
You know, you've got – here's your resource to go and look that information up immediately, and everybody's aware of it. There's no disagreement.
Right. So just great. Thanks so much for coming on
Andy.
Sharing your experiences. And I I've seen a LadTex demo. I've looked at it. They are so many things there, and their regular update schedules and everything that they have involved. If you haven't at least looked at it, you're crazy and not doing your public a service.
I agree. Now, Andy, say if somebody wanted to contact you to get your testimonial or find out how you guys use it, how can they get a hold of you?
They can go to our website, which is GloucesterCountyEMS.org, or they can reach out to us in the office, which is 856-307-7120, and just ask for me.
Great. Thank you, sir. Great. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for coming on. And the cool thing is we've got coming up Dr. Anonymous.
Dr. Anonymous.
I heard he's not anonymous anymore.
Well, he's not really. I mean, everybody knows Dr. Anonymous. And, you know, he's not as anonymous as his name would let you lead you believe. But Dr. A in the house.
Am I close enough to the mic here?
No, you got to lick it.
Really?
I can't tell because your shirt is blending in with the background.
I picked the shirt based on the color of the mic. Hey, that's what I do.
You know what's really cool is after,
I wish I
after
could be
the
cool
show,
and color coordinated like that.
I know. Well,
and green look, and blue.
Well, green and blue look nice together. But after the show, I know now that the geeks will inherit the earth because right next door is the biophysic conference, the 55th edition, 55th annual, and that place is full of geeks and they're really? Science geeks and. The really cool thing, I was walking by, I'm looking at all the signs, and it said, join our sub-panel on exo- and endocytology. I'm like, cool. And one of the subtopics of that was probing exocytosis with light. I'm like, that's got to be cool. I don't know.
Okay, come on, tell me. Do you even know what that meant?
I know no what you said, but that was the coolest thing you've said all week.
It sounds awesome. But, you know, I sound really smart now.
We need to do a show on exocytology and light. And we just have to figure out what it means. Dr. Anonymous show, one of the ProMed Network shows.
Yes.
Not specifically an EMS show, but I will tell you, you've been a great supporter of our other programs, our EMS shows, and talking to your audience about what EMS does by having us on as guests. And I just want to thank you for being a great supporter of EMS to your audience and community, because it's really, I think, most important for us to educate our public on what we do. They dial 911. And somebody shows up. They have no freaking idea what goes on in between or after.
Right. I've learned so much about that aspect of our healthcare system because I think we're all in kind of in our little silos, whether we're in the hospital or we're in the office, we're out there doing EMS work, and I'm really kind of learning how all of this integrates together. And that's a lot from the EMS social media community, just learning, listening to podcasts, reading blogs. It's been a great educational experience, not only for me, but for my audience as well.
How do you have time? You're a physician.
How do you have time?
Oh, right.
That's a different show. Now sorry.
We're going to have the throwdown after this. Dr. Anonymous and the Geeky Medic fighting it out right here
but
in
you,
the studio.
But you blog and you podcast and you, I mean, you do way more than me.
No, you do way more. We'll talk about that.
All right.
Goodness
right,
gracious. Yeah. All right, guys.
Can I have a hug?
Yeah. We'll hug later. Okay.
All right. We have another guest.
Yes, we had another guest, Dr. Myers. How are you, sir?
Good afternoon.
Oh, wait,
how are you?
It's like the doctor side, the paramedic side.
Yeah. Big throw.
Well, you're
down.
A nurse, though. A nurse paramedic, so, you know.
I'm in the middle, as always.
I know. It's always a fight with you.
Bridging. Does that mean we have to have a cook-off?
We should. That would be awesome. To do a cook-off.
Maybe next year.
Next year you guys enter as a team, and we will kick your butt.
We had yesterday. Right here. They're going to do another cook-off next year, and we could have like you guys as part of the cook-off team.
Sure.
There we go.
Yeah, exactly.
Carissa and I got second.
We just need a microwave. We'll be fine.
they don't have hot pockets.
Oh, really? Is that in the fine print? We can do that, can't we? We can do that.
Yeah
we can make something together. It doesn't have to be edible.
Exactly.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
I do believe that is part of the presentation. Does get credit, though.
It does.
So absolutely. If it looks good.
So it just has to look nice.
Just has to look nice.
Well, there you go.
We can do
it.
We can do that. How are you today?
You know, we're here. We're not as tired as I normally am after...
Speak for yourself.
Being here. That's your problem. That's your fault, not mine. And they always do announcements right in the middle of our show. I love it.
Actually, I hear it's Kyle's fault.
No, actually, well, Kyle's responsible for getting me home safely last night. Yes. Thanks, Kyle.
And Anne's responsible for getting him home and tucking him into bed. And
don't
rubbing
say
his,
that.
Rubbing his toes. She's a nurse.
Yeah, she's a nurse. She's a, it's all right. Well,
she's as red as her sweater.
She's as red as her sweater.
Sorry, Anne. Qualified nursing professional.
Those pictures are on Twitter. Podmatic. Follow him on Podmatic.
It was just a lot of fun doing the karaoke thing last night.
That was a ton of fun. I agree. And if you were there, we all sang California Girls.
California Girls
and
the,
love, and
Pod
love
Guys and yeah. Blog Guys.
That was
cool.
That was good.
It's Chef, right?
Yes.
Okay. So,
Dr. Myers to you. You're a paramedic.
Excuse me, Dr. Myers. Can I get your signature on this?
I'm a paramedic also. Does that mean I can give myself my own orders?
Tell me something. I have this like anecdotal evidence that the best ER docs are paramedics and become ER docs. Is that true?
Well, of course. That's a no-brainer. I think from the EMS standpoint, the docs that have an interest in EMS, whether they came from an EMS background or not before, are the ones that are most enthusiastic, interact with the EMTs and medics when they come in, and they're looked upon as role models. So I don't think it necessarily are the people who have been from the street and gone into the ER, but it's the people that really respect what goes on pre-hospitally.
I have nothing else to say. I'm like, wow. Okay,
wow.
Perfect.
Let's
I'm
mark
wow.
that
show over.
Today.
Right,
go.
That's right.
20 minutes
speechless.
In.
Here's a question. What do you say to that provider that is afraid to talk to their ER docs when they have a question about something that came up with their patient because they're afraid it's going to make them look unknowledgeable or stupid in the doctor's eyes? What would you say to that provider that's listening to this that needs to maybe understand a little bit more about what that really professional relationship is all about?
Yeah, don't be afraid to ask questions. I mean, most of us as physicians, we've gone through how many years of training in terms of not only being taught in the student role, but in being the teacher role and preceptor role. And especially if you're going into a teaching hospital situation, they're used to teaching medical students, nursing students, all students of all types. And sometimes it's just that question, hey, doc, do you have a minute? I got a quick question for you. You know, being respectful of the time, but asking that first question, and you'll be surprised at what you'll get.
I've always had the experience that I think when the doctors I've developed a relationship with and talked and asked them questions, I've felt like they've respected my opinion more when I've had that call in on a call and said, hey, look, I got this, because they know I'm willing to ask questions and say, hey, there's things I don't know.
And I think contrary to popular belief, we do actually pay attention to, you know, who comes in. We recognize people after we're working at a place after a while, and you get to see what the work is coming in, how the interactions are, you know, all those professional aspects that develop that bond and respect. And you're right, it makes a difference on the radio. I can remember being back in the street and having different experiences with different docs when I call in based upon my relationship with them and how they knew I was in the field.
So we have a tradition on the show, the last show. Trust me, you guys will be fine. it's not that bad. We like to highlight some of the fun things we found on the show floor here, talk about them, bring on the vendor, give them a couple minutes to talk about it, and we also like to find the really cool tchotchke things. And speaking of tchotchkes...
Wait a minute. This doesn't look like a tchotchke.
That's a little
tchotchke,
baby.
Tchotchkes fit in your pocket.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
I got big pockets, but...
It's awesome. So this is the...
That's very nice.
It's Betty.
Betty, very nice. Yes.
It's a big stuffed animal. I won it by knocking over big lead.
Is this for emergency veterinary transport?
I think I saw this at the bar last night.
Dude, that was a different bar.
Oh, all sorry. Right, all right. Okay.
Keith, tell us who you are and where you're from, and we'll do this the best we can. Why don't you come sit where I'm sitting instead
sit
of moving
me.
The microphone?
You just said sit with me.
Here, sit, Chris, sit on my lap.
Chris. All right. Sit on your lap?
Yeah. So Anne is going to show us how she's going to kind of Vanna it for us.
Nice.
But Keith, tell us who you are and what company this is, because I saw this. Actually, Anne saw it and tucked me over there. But tell me what this is about.
Well, my name is Keith, and I'm from Ontario, Oregon.
And this is Barry, our bariatric bear. And what this device is called is the bear, which stands for bariatric equalizing abdominal restraint.
Ooh.
And what it does, and what it was created for is because I am also a paramedic in Oregon, and we were doing a bariatric transport, and that huge abdominal mass started to roll off the side of the cot. Oh, yeah. Even though we had the manufacturer's metal buckles on, it still shifted, and we almost lost that patient, and it almost hurt the crew. At that time, I just knew that there was some other way to do this, and so I came up with this device. It's lightweight nylon mesh fabric. It secures to the ambulance cot frame, and it will fit on any cot. It turns any cot into a bariatric cot. We do have a training video which states, we don't put it on tight around the chest of the patient. It just keeps the abdominal mass section centrally into the cot where it should be, keeps it from tipping. It also fits on a common long backboard also, the same device. And I forgot to mention that our company is Bariatrics Incorporated, and we do have a website at www.bariatrics.com. Spelt bariatrics a little bit different. Kind of want to be a little bit different out there. And the nylon mesh is vinyl coated. It's non-porous. It's easy to decontaminate, easy to clean. Put it in a washing machine, a little bit of soap and water, and it comes clean.
I grilled you on this too, and I said, grilled bear, yummy, big bear steaks.
Is that a Colorado thing?
Actually, people do it. I've never eaten bear. I'm sure Kelly Grayson's eaten bear. Pretty sure.
Sure, why not?
Well, good point. But I did ask him a lot of questions about this, and I said, so about the strip, about the stitching and how firm it is. Now, what is you told me the tensile strength of that nylon. What was that again?
It's 720 pounds per square inch of bursting strength.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It looks remarkably comfortable. And I said, well, what about the area up there? And he said, well, it's just to keep the mass in. It's not to constrict. And how big does it go again?
It will go up to 80 inches around diameter.
Amazing.
And if, you have a patient that big, you might as well find a different way to transport them.
Right, exactly.
The big payoff for us was this, is we received some good testimony from services that are using them, but the most important was from an actual patient. Mm. And she said that she was afraid of falling, and she was scared to be transported on an ambulance cot. But after she was into this product that we have here, she's no longer scared of being transported. It lowers her anxiety level, and, we're out there for the patient, and that's a big plus.
Mm. I know, Dr. A, we see the obesity increase in America, and so we're seeing more and more of these large patients in the field dealing with them, and how much anxiety plays into a lot of these patients as some of the issues they have. They're afraid of falling. They're afraid they can't get up. They're afraid of mobility issues. And anything that we can do to make them more secure during transport is huge.
Oh, absolutely. I see that in the outpatient setting. I see that in the inpatient setting. They're getting these, specially made beds now, imaging for CT, MRI. They're accommodating that for patients now. So it is definitely a concern. And when patients can feel comfortable, getting their testing or being transported or being taken care of the hospital, obviously they feel a little bit better.
This is amazing. And these are those... I love the solutions that a guy in the field comes up with, because they're the ones that I know are going to work. Sometimes I see these companies come in with something that they've thought of on the drawing board, but it's not really it really doesn't have a practical application the way they'd like to think it does.
Yeah, we also got comments from people who have bariatric cots also. And normally a bariatric cot is about 9 inches wider than a conventional 21-inch ambulance cot. That 4.5 inches on each side, when you're talking a patient has a 72-inch or even 65-inch abdominal mass, this product here will only enhance that feature of that bariatric cot also. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I'd asked you just a minute ago, what the price point on this is?
we're starting out at $395 on the web. You put an order in today, and you get 25% off. So,
well, and that's huge. I mean, that to me, you don't. That's huge. In a good way.
Wow.
Because you don't... Oh, man. My Lord.
It's been a long time.
Wow.
That's the last day.
Amen. You know. All right, so... But the real... Okay, so it's awesome. It's really cool, as Greg Fries would say. But what I really like about it is that I don't have to buy another cot. And I don't have to have the difference... It's just cheaper. And in a cost-conscious society, we can have one in every ambulance now. And I think that's important.
Yeah. Yeah, we thought about
it. You don't know when you're going to get that bariatric patient that you have to transport. It could, and you maybe your crew, and you've got to be able to take care of that patient.
You're dispatched to 200 pounds, but you get there and you find out it's 200 kilos. So
right. Yeah, exactly. Well, Keith, thank you very much. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for showing us this. It's awesome.
It was a pleasure, and I watch
and
you guys all the time.
Thanks for inventing it.
Yay!
Really. I mean, thanks for coming up with the idea.
Thanks. And I watch you guys all the time. You guys are great.
Oh,
so.
Thank you very
all
much. Right. I appreciate it.
Take care.
Very cool.
It's huge.
Literally,
it's just
huge.
There it goes.
Gosh, it's great. Thanks a lot. That'll be one.
You know, bariatrics is this hot button word, and in the hospital setting, of course, you know, there's specialized beds, the specialized care needed. But in the EMS sector, it's just so many challenges because of the fact that we have to transport these patients, and. Those cots are so top heavy. When you get a 500-600-pound person up on top of there, anything that shifts the center of mass is going to be dangerous to everybody, not just the patient.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. What else you got there, man?
I got my pick of the show. And
yes.
I'd like to bring Josh up here.
All right, come on up. Josh Knapp. You're sitting here. Apparently, well, and here's the other thing. I'm gonna let David Koenig take over my seat. He doesn't know it yet.
Da, da, da.
Well, I owe him for yesterday, so that's why.
He's saying no.
Come on up.
I don't have to sit on your lap now.
Oh, wow. Everybody's a comedian. Wow. No, that's awesome.
Okay.
So, Josh from Wantinu, we are there.
We ain't nothing till you need us.
I can never remember what that stands for, but I've loved your products for a long time, and you and I've known each other for a long time. You were one of the earliest guests on the Medicast. I was so excited when I got to the show here and I saw that the new version, the TK3, is out. I mean, you've been working on this for. What, two, three years?
2 years. 2 years of
lean right on in there. Get right
two
on.
2 years of absolute pain.
But, yeah, just get right up on the mic, Josh. We want to hear what you have to say. Seriously, that close. See where I am. And I got the radio voice. This is an oxygen wrench. And it's the only oxygen wrench you'll ever need. It's a tool that you say, well, why do I have those nylon oxygen wrenches. I have whatever they've got attached to the bag. This is so much better in so many ways. So I want you to hold it up, and let's get a look at what are some of the features you've incorporated in the design, in the materials in use, and the different aspects of it.
Jamie, first of all, thank you. Thanks for coming by my booth. It was great seeing you, and it's good seeing you again. And I'm really pleased to be here today. Okay.
That way you can hear yourself.
Oh, okay. I can hear myself now. The TK3, I've been making the TK1 and TK2 for about 4 years now, and I made it originally for myself. And I found out that when you make something for yourself and you bring it on the bus, like an extra sandwich or something, you are obligated to share it with your partners. There are beatings that pursue if you do not. So it started with one partner, then two, then a half dozen, and it became a company. When I went to my very first show, I was told by many people, this is a great thing. This is wonderful. I love it. It's lightweight. It's easy to use. And it's simple. And I happen to guarantee these things never to break. I make them for myself. So
yeah, it's important to note, you also are a working medic.
I am a working medic in New York City.
Yeah.
So I was looking for something. I was looking for something that worked for me.
Yeah.
This was not an idea of, oh, gee whiz, there's oxygen wrenches out there. I'll make a company that makes oxygen wrenches at 10 times the price. That's ridiculous. that's probably not a great sales point, but if you get a plastic wrench for free, you get what you get for free. If you buy it for 59 cents, well, it's worth every penny you paid. My wrenches cost about $10, and they are the best tool that you'll ever use.
And it's the last oxygen wrench you'll ever need.
The last oxygen wrench you'll ever need. We've been trying to come up with catchy slogans. Well, that's one of them. But when I showed this to the people at the show, they said, you know what, make this great? And along the line of about 100 different ideas, the top two were beer bottle opener. And then
not for beer on the job.
Right, not, because we don't drink on the
there's
job.
There's other bottles that require a bottle opener.
Thank you, Jamie, for pointing that out. That's very important.
We're responsible medics.
We are responsible.
That's not next to the cold saline for therapeutic hypothermia, is it?
Right. There's a little extra room in the fridge.
Oh, that's a flashback to Mother Jones.
I do have a question about cold saline, though. Is it a coincidence that at 32 degrees, that's the optimal temperature for a good beer?
No, we must have had a lot of research from the beer industry that helped guided that in terms of the
study on
Wait, my patient's cold filtered.
Cold filtered, fresh brewed. Yeah, and they actually fit a six pack. No, I wouldn't know that. You just have to remove 2 liters.
But there's opener that hadn't been integrated on the new device.
They told me that. You guys,
how many people in our audience would get the Mother Jugs and the Speed reference that we were all laughing hysterically about? Good, at least
okay.
A few. Good,
very good. Thank right. you,
thank you. thank you very much, guys. I had it all together before I came up here. The oxygen wrench was a purest oxygen wrench. It's never going to break. It's easier to use. And it works on the idea that this stunning idea that if you make a tool to open a lever, that it should be like any other socket tool that you'd go to Home Depot and buy. So I turned the turning surface, and if you can look at that, that's your turning surface, 90 degrees to the handle, and it was an oh my moment. Because it actually made it easier to open the tank. What a surprise.
Wait, easy?
Yeah, easy.
It was actually no stripped, people start putting vice grips on the end of the oxygen tank.
You know, it when you come up and you take over a rig and you open up and you can't fit anything on the oxygen tank because it's just a knurled hub, you understand the reason that you should carry the right tool for the right job. But what happened was when I was at the show, people said, oh, I'd love that, but I'd like something that I carried on my keychain all the time. A bottle opener would be great. And so I said, well, a bottle opener is great, but I have some of my friends who are in tactical ESU, and they said, you know what would also be great? A handy window punch. And on the end of this is a little nickel-plated piece of steel. It's a hardened piece of steel under a very specific hardness, under a very specific angle. And if you go to YouTube and type in Wantanu, you can see how easy it works. It's an effortless device. To make it effortless, it took me a lot of effort, 2 years of blood, sweat, and tears. Very
it was really the window punch that was hanging you up, wasn't it?
Oh, Lord.
I remember talking to you about that.
Yeah, but you want to know something? Again, it's about a product made by Paramedic to be used by myself and my partners. I'm not going to give them something they're going to come back at me at. And the other thing is I have a connection to every other EMS member in the country because we're all brothers and sisters, and we all do the same dangerous job. And we've got to be kumbaya, but, hey, we've got to be recognized. Right? Thank you. We've got to be recognized, and I think that's a major issue coming from somebody who makes an oxygen wrench. But I made this oxygen wrench for me, and I think it's the best thing that I've ever used.
Well, and I'll tell you, and this is something you've incorporated in it. It's not recommended to do this, but there is even a slot to fit over that pin on the regulator.
Right.
Adjustment.
Right.
When you're trying to get that regulator snugged down and you still got a little bit of a hiss, when you try to tighten that thing down and you end up with that bar like hole in the base of your thumb from trying to dig that in, this actually fits over that bar. so that you can use the wider point and a little bit of extra leverage just to snug it. Not to twist it off, but to just snug it down that little bit more without killing your hand doing it.
Well, that was another one of those aha moments when everybody came to me and said, well, what do you use to tighten a regulator? And I would look at them with this sort of glassy-eyed, dumb look and say, your thumb? And they'd say, no, we use our oxygen tanks or everything else that we can carry with us. And so I figured there had to be a better way because, again, how many of us have opened up a tank bag and the regulator looks like a pretzel? And then you're trying to tighten it and you're not even sure which way the direction of the screw is anymore. Or better yet, on a critical APE, last year with my partner, we went and we switched out tanks. I turned the regulator valve and the whole thumb screw just broke apart in my hand. So, you know, delicate is better, less pain, less pressure is better, but sometimes you need a little bit more of a leverage to do that.
So, wantinu.com, WANTYNU. We ain't nothing till you need us. Right?
Right. Absolutely.
O2 or O2wrench.com will get you there.
Is that true for EMS? Come on, tell me. Is that true?
Yep. It's true. Yeah. And you know, there's a place to put a carabiner or a key ring. It's lightweight. I mean, this is tell us a little bit about the metal.
The metal is
It's not plastic, folks.
Yes, it is as light as plastic.
It's metal. It's lightweight, but it's metal.
I am a backpacker, and I go by the idea that ounces are pounds. Whatever you put on your belt that's an ounce, at the end of the day, it's going to feel like a pound. So I looked around and through several renditions of this wrench came up with this specialized alloy that's used in aircraft. It's very lightweight, very, very strong, and it really is something that you won't – it's going to weigh as much at the beginning of the day as it does at the end of the day. And that, for me, when you're carrying a lot of crap, equipment. You will.
It's crap.
I don't need it. Give me a plastic straw and a pen.
It's crap. Right.
I don't even need a working pen.
Yeah, we're working medics here. It's crap.
Yeah, Come on. I love the 80-pound shoulder bag that digs into your arm so deeply it comes out your kidney. There's something special about that. You remember that job. But
thanks, you know, Josh, thanks a lot for continuing to innovate, continuing on into the version 3. And I would just tell everybody, you know, this is the oxygen wrench I use. It's the oxygen wrench I recommend. It's the very first thing I said, hey, I want my listeners to have access to buying something like this. And I was so excited when I saw that you finally got version 3 together because I know it's been a long process. And I'm happy to make this my pick of the best innovative product in the show.
Thank you very much.
Because you just continue to take a great thing and improve it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Josh.
I think he has a future radio.
He does. He's been on the show before. We talked about product development. We did a whole show on, you know, how to develop new products and how to invent things, and he talked about that.
Those are
yours.
Those are yours.
Well, I'll take them. Well, we can give them away if you want.
We like free stuff.
We'll give
free
away as a
stuff.
Free giveaway on the show. Give one to the doc.
There you go.
Woo!
Give one to the other doc.
They are aircraft. There are.
Fail.
They are metal.
Is he a surgeon?
No.
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 Thank you very much.
He would.
Thanks,
I'll
Jeff.
I'll be nice. I was gonna make a comment
go ahead.
About being
I deserve
a surgeon.
It.
No, no. Yeah, you, here's the deal. He is my long lost twin. We learned that last night. We were separated at birth. The only difference is my hair apparently is spikier.
What's yours?
All right. Cool. It's going in my pocket. All right. My pick of the show. The last one was Anne's, the big bear, because she saw the bear and she loved it. This is my pick of the show. Come on up. Spencer IT. They're from Italy.
Ooh.
And, yeah. Spencer.
Fine Italian
IT.
Styling.
Yes. This is a backboard that you will soon be seeing everywhere in America, I'm pretty sure. This thing is really cool. It is a backboard that has a backboard inside of itself. So, Anne, if you could Vanna it for me. It is a long spine board that turns into a pediatric spine board. And it has 4 different sizes of pediatric patient you could put on there. And it has an integrated occiput kind of, I want to call it divot
for the big baby head.
For the big baby head, yeah. But depending on which
some
way you flip
still
it,
have that, by the way.
Depending on which way you flip it, it actually will allow you to have more of the baby on there. That it's amazing. And it, when our as our ambulances are getting smaller, like the Miller one over here, and going more European styled. This thing is amazing. They're selling all over the world. This is the last country they're getting ready to sell in is the United States. They're here. They even have Italian accents. Woo! And I love it. And all right. It's awesome. So this product is Spencer.it. They also had the best tchotchke of the show, which was a tiny little backboard.
Oh, I didn't get that.
Isn't that cool?
Oh.
Keyring. I love that. So thank you for showing that. They also have, you can buy it that way. That's the Tango backboard, or you can buy the baby one.
Dun, dun, dun.
Baby Go. I knew it was baby. I couldn't think of the second word. It's Baby Go.
Wow.
And so you can buy them separately or you can buy them together. I would recommend buying them together because it is so cool.
Space is so important.
It is. It's huge.
We keep adding crap to our ambulances.
Right.
and so anything we can do to combine things and have a more useful tool ultimately at the end of the day is just so important. And this, what a great idea. I applaud you. This is truly innovative. This is amazing.
Italians get design. That is cool.
Not only does it work, but it looks good doing it.
I agree.
That's
and
great.
It's light. It's not, I mean, it's not very heavy, and it's amazing. Very nice. Very nice.
Where can they find more about it?
Spencer.it. That could be a cool social media. Spencer
folks,
it. I'm going to Spencer it.
Spencer it, folks. If you want to take care of that patient better, Spencer it.
That's cool. Thank you guys very much.
Spencer.it.
Thanks, Vanna.
Thank you. Thanks, Vanna. Vanna Ann.
Vanna Ann.
Vanna Ann.
Vanna Ann. Vanna Ann.
Vanna Ann.
Vanna Ann. Now, the much awaited and much maligned David Koenig. He's taking over my show.
That's copyrighted.
Well, it's because yesterday we had a bit of a mix-up, and I felt so bad. And
no, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. I did a little bit.
No, you didn't.
I even tweeted how bad I felt.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. Twitter doesn't mean anything.
Hey, you know what? Yeah.
I feel so bad.
And it was all in caps.
Oh, that makes it true.
He must have really felt bad than if it was in all caps.
Hey, I can say I'm sorry in under 140 characters. Can you?
Okay. I can say I'm sorry in 8 characters.
I can say I'm sorry in 7 characters. No.
See, this is like the longest apology ever. You're taking more of his time.
I know. No, awesome. No. He gets 10 minutes as soon as
and
I
now
leave.
Now the show concludes.
Oh, gee.
And
now we're out of time. Doggone it. Oh, well. So, David, come on up. You get 10 minutes to talk about whatever you want. And, you know, include them or not. It's your show. This is the Koenig Show.
Uh-oh.
We'll talk amongst ourselves.
Exactly. Koenig talk.
Dave Koenig, how the heck are you?
I am well. I'm quite well. I have my gum.
Okay.
I already drank
Did
my
Did you bring enough for
morning.
Everybody?
Of course, here.
Okay.
There you go. Pass
there
it
you
down.
Go. Great.
Pass it down. Share.
Yeah.
Okay. Caring is sharing, right? So just don't share the germs. Share the gum.
Wow.
It's not pre-chewed gum, is it?
No.
Okay, good.
No. I got to be honest. I really like the
you said
all
share the germs. Why would there be a problem? I just took it out of the wrapper.
The products that were just up here are all great products. They're the great innovative products. I actually have the Wanty new wrench. I've had that for a while.
I think the gum was a bad idea.
This is my pick of the show right here.
This gum.
Who invited the horse onto the show?
Yeah.
That's actually a cow, but okay. I know my animal sounds. I'm so happy for myself. You should come back.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We've now taken more of his valuable time.
Oh, my time is not valuable.
David, it's your show. What are you doing, dude?
I don't know. I didn't have anything planned for this, you know.
All right, it's so wonderful to have such a professional operation.
I am. But we've seen really, really innovative products. But I think another great thing about this type of conference is the fact that we actually get to meet face to face. You know, Dr. Myers and I, we met yesterday.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
We've been on at least 5 or 6 shows together.
At least.
And, you know, it was the first time where we got to actually, oh, wow, you're bigger
hey,
than
that's
a
50
by
like.
50 pixel avatar.
Yes.
You know? So I, as great as it is to see these innovative products and everything, I think it's important that we also turn around and we meet and place names to faces. Tim Noonan was here yesterday.
Yep. Yep.
The EMS Sasquatch was seen.
Yes.
You know, I posted a photo about it today, so everyone can go see his jaundice color. you know, it's I think experiences like this are really good and helps innovate us as providers as well as content creators.
And I think that's so important in the medical field, especially when we have so many new innovations happening at all times and in the primary care setting and the ER setting and in the field. We are always needing to just network and find out what other people are doing and solutions for their patient care and improving outcomes. It makes such a huge difference. I mean, I know, you know, Dr. A, you know how important it is. You go to so many conferences and meeting all those people and sharing your thoughts, and it's what it's all about. It's why we do Con Ed.
Well, I mean, social media just opened things up so much. You know, when I go to these meetings, I find, you know, cool stuff like this. And get to share it with, you know, the people that read my blog, or it's great just coming and meeting people. Just like you're saying, I mean, just networking and seeing people beyond what their blog is or podcast is, and say, hey, you know, how's it going, and why'd you start doing this, and why is it important to you? It's great hearing people, you know, talk and write about what they're really passionate about, and that's something just great about the EMS community here. You're just talking to people and seeing, you know, why they do things, and that's why I'm here, is just to kind of learn.
Dave, what's one of the trends that you've seen? Is there any hot button issues you've heard discussed a lot this week?
Patient documentation in a mobile setting. Mm. Inspiring Apps was supposed to be here; they're not. They have the iPad app PCR because they have partnered with Zoll. That announcement apparently was made 3 days ago, while I think the same day the iPad 2 was announced. Yeah. So I missed that announcement because I was too busy drooling over the white iPad 2. but that's definitely going to be innovative, bringing the ePCR into a true tablet form instead of the current Toughbook setting. You know, Toughbook screens are $1,500 to replace. I know, because I have a cracked Toughbook screen now for 3 years. You know, for that price, you could turn around and buy 3 iPads.
Right. And I know, you know, that iPad announcement, I mean, we had Zoll on here earlier in the week talking about their brand new iPad app.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's it.
Which is so cool. I know, you know, iPad and mobile applications are so important. My wife actually got on Twitter and sent me a message that said, you are not allowed to stop at the Apple store on your way home from the conference.
Nice.
And I was like, man. She knows me so well. Mm. But those types of mobile tablet applications are really reaching around in the hospital and out. It just makes it so much easier to chart, to be there with the patient, to be spending more time with the patient, because we spend so much time charting.
Well, it's gonna help both in that aspect, but it's also going to help specifically us in EMS, because, you know, when you get onto an ambulance with your partner and you're sent to go post somewhere, are you going to whip out your, you know, notebook computer, or are you going to be able to whip out your iPad? And maybe you can turn around and actually reference the latest textbook and, you know, get education that way, or read whatever it is in an e-book format, which A, is saving the trees, because we all want to save the environment, but B, it's also reducing your cost in hopefully continuing education, because hopefully they will not charge as much for the electronic version as they would the print version. Yeah. So that's cost savings for you too, and should enable you to turn around and be able to, you know, afford more books, and more books means more learning, and hopefully it's a trend that continues. So that's really what I'm looking forward to. I got a sneak peek at something while I was here. It's kind of
do tell.
It's a
breaking e-book. News.
It's a e-book version with embedded video. You know, and it's not ready for announcement yet, but I'm going to be talking with those people over the next couple months and as they continue to develop. But I think that that's definitely where we're going.
But it highlights the real value of that type of application and the rich media, the ability to have embedded rich media. And we have Angel Burba sitting out here, an educator. I'm not going to bring you up. Keep eating. Please.
Those French fries look really good right now.
They do, don't they? Yeah.
Do I look like Greg Friese that I'd bring you and say, come up on my show?
Right on.
It's cool, Angel.
Right on.
Anyway, no, I would. But I'm just talking educators out there in the audience that, you know, how important it would be to have, you know, you get those textbooks with the extra discs that have the embedded, that have the media on it. How great would it be to have that textbook on the device? You're reading the textbook, you flip the page, you have a video right there. This is how you do the skill. This is how you assess this particular thing. This is what this physiological...
Yep. Oh, updates. That's another
physiology system works. You know, how you apply your knowledge is so important.
Updates are huge, and we saw that with the Informed Guides application, their ALS application. When the 2010 AHA guidelines came out and went into effect, their app updated itself. It was a download, January 2nd or something like that.
I've got a stack of those pocket guides that have become obsolete because I kept having to buy the next one to keep in my pocket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now I just have my phone, which has that, has textbooks, has my scheduling device, like a LadTech. You know, all that stuff gets to be done in one place on a small device or even a larger device like a tablet. I'm all about improving my time with my patient. Yeah. If I have more time with my patient, I can assess them better. That leads to better outcomes. Mm-hmm. Be better able to adapt to the next patient I have because I'll see things that I might not have seen otherwise, all because I have more time on my hands to do what I really want to do.
The patient also is happier that you're spending more time, and there's been countless studies in the physician world where you're sued a lot less if your patient likes you. And that's a real issue.
As
EMS is becoming, unfortunately, more and more involved in those type of situations.
Of course, it's just important to be using those devices for the purpose that they're intended for, not for Facebooking while you're with the patient. Just got to throw that out there. That's mine.
You're talking about me?
No.
Oh.
No.
Sorry.
We assume
you're the exception to the rule.
Mike, I'll tell you, you know, we assume that all the extra Twitter posts and Facebook posts and stuff, we assume that the patients, this is between patients in your office.
Exactly right.
Yeah. It always.
Right.
What if the patient asks to Twitter on your iPad while you're transporting
them? I'm being probed by Dr. A.
It could happen.
It could.
Might have happened. I can't confirm nor deny that happened. Are we still on?
Fifth Amendment.
We want to
exactly right.
We do want to get a time code stamp on this because I'm thinking I'm going to break this section out just for fun and put it on your site. David, what else? Any big issues? I mean, some great products, innovations, and things like that. I know there's been a lot of talk about the federalization of EMS.
Yeah,
any thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, everyone's pushing the federal white paper, and I just want to put out there. I know white papers seem to have lost their authority over the years due to the misuse of the term by perhaps some not worthy contributions using that title. So, but I think it's definitely something. It's important for every EMS provider to go out there, download it, read it, and definitely make your voice heard. I've read it. I agree with about 95% of it. There are a couple things which you're not going to have complete agreement with everything that comes out with stuff like that. But definitely get your opinion out there. I think it's inevitable, and I think it's definitely the way that EMS needs to go to progress. During the closing by Steve Berry today, right prior to that, they were giving out awards, and one of the people that they awarded was from Washington, D.C. Fire, one of the deputy chiefs. And, you know, he said, you know, EMS is not an agency. EMS is a system. And I think that's something which a lot of us tend to forget. We think that, okay, well, EMS is us. We're, you know, whatever agency we're with. And actually what it is it's a system, and it needs to have a systematic approach to its development. And it's important to remember that. And that includes all sectors, whether it be public, private, profit, not-for-profit, non-profit, you know, inclusive of the entire field, similar to the way that it's a healthcare system and not just, you know, healthcare. So I think that that's definitely an important approach that needs to go forward.
And we're still experiencing growing pains. You know, this, we're a relatively young profession, but certainly things that have happened recently. I know the addition of EMS as an official medical specialty was just recently. Mm-hmm. It was huge, just because it really makes it official. You know, it says that this is a valid specialized field.
It's not a stepping stone,
right? And so it can carry down to us as a specialized type of provider of care. And it certainly affects us. I will say this, FICEMS@dot.gov is the email address, FICEMS@dot.gov. They are accepting input from you, the provider on the street, the ER docs, the community members, to let the government know where you think the federal head of EMS should reside. Where should we have our lead agency? I'm not dissing DOT, and it may actually stay there. We have become a lot of countries around the world modeled their standard for their systems around how our systems are set up. DOT is responsible for that. So certainly they have served us very well. And it's not about that they're doing a bad job. It's just to look, again, we should always reassess, and we should always be looking at, is there a better place for us? I think my personal opinion is that we need to be under some form of healthcare leadership. It's time. You know, we are right now the gold standard for how we measure what we do in EMS is time on arrival. You know, it's about transport time or dispatch time. It's about that vehicular mode. There's nothing in there
about care. Yeah.
There's nothing in there about outcomes.
Yeah, and I've been on the podcast before and tried to promote the public health model of EMS, where we're one part of the healthcare system as opposed to the public safety model, which is more what we see with fire and police services. Not that there isn't a public safety component to EMS, but you know, largely it's really health driven. There's a definite part of the healthcare team that EMS serves and is essential for in some communities. So we need to go that public health route.
And we need to integrate with all of the members of the healthcare system. You know, primary care, you get a patient that's sent home from the hospital. They maybe didn't understand something. They get called. They call 911. They don't necessarily have to go to the hospital, but a lot of systems are so set up that way. That's just where they end up. But that paramedic could perhaps identify, hey, you know what, you're not taking your medication properly according to instructions, or you didn't get something filled that should have been filled, and now you're an extremist, but we can maybe fix something and get you back to your primary care source. Finding ways to integrate what we do in EMS with all members of that continuum, from primary care, ER, specialists, all those things.
And something they're really looking at now is hospital readmissions, especially for just of heart failure, and it's going to really affect payment for hospitals and physicians. Mm-hmm. So this integration of the healthcare system is something that's really going to need to be looked at, especially from the hospital setting and from the outpatient setting.
So there's a lot to do. Again, FICEMS, FICEMS, @dot.gov. Send in your opinions. They're accepting them now for the next month or so, and they really do want to hear. We talked about it earlier on the GEMS cast. The federal government really cares what you have to say. They're asking for you, as an expert in the field, your opinions. So it's up to you to share them. So send an email. That's all you have to do. Send an email about what you think EMS is. Is it healthcare? Is it public safety? Is it disaster response? I mean, where do you think we belong? And what's the most important aspect of what we do? And overwhelmingly here at the conference, I've heard healthcare.
Yeah, I've heard the majority of healthcare too. I've heard a couple people argue for the whole for actually law enforcement. I don't understand why, but I've heard the majority of it going towards healthcare or homeland security. I think it's important that for whatever reason, this decision has taken a while, you know, to be made. It's very similar to back in 1996. There was another paper. It was like the future roadmap, mm-hmm. and the things that came out of that, we all said, "Oh yes, yes, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen." And it's whatever it is, 14 years later, and very few of those things have happened for whatever the reason is. And so it's important that with this white paper that just came out, that we take those recommendations and, you know, express your opinion, send an email, like you just said. If you have a blog, blog about it. If you don't have a blog, get a blog about it.
Just get a blog.
And get the conversation started.
I know who can help them with that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But the important thing is to get the conversation started so that we could turn around and get, you know, movement on this front. This is something that needs to be moved forward, and we definitely need to see movement. And on the note of movement, I'm going to be moving out of the chair.
Okay.
And I'd like to thank you, gentlemen.
Where can folks find you online?
You know, I don't plug myself anymore.
That's a personal problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Sorry.
It just becomes
better to be unplugged.
Things back up.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
It just became very tedious to try to
lots
explain
of fluids
to people
and
where
mobility.
I am.
Fiber.
Fiber.
I am all over. I am Jabba the Hutt, literally spread out, you know. But yeah, I mean, I'll plug over at EMSblogs.com. We have a new blog that just launched at the beginning of the week, sort of in honor of EMS today, called EMSBasics.com, written by Brandon Otto, who's an EMT basic. A lot of these conferences, a lot of the classes are geared towards ALS providers. I think sometimes we forget the BLS provider and kind of leave them out of the loop. And, oh, you're just BLS. And really, they're probably about 70, 75% of the EMS workforce. So it's important to get them involved and hear their side, too. So I'm going to plug him. And as always, I'm on Twitter at David Koenig.
So, thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. It's always great to have you. You're on and hear you and hear your input. Jeff, what were your impressions? You've been here, hearing all the discussions, participating, leading some of those discussions. What have you been hearing since you've been here that's kind of cropped up on your radar?
Honestly, I've been spending the time in the exhibit booth. Some of you guys may know Rich Beebe, who's a co-author of mine, and I just finished our three-volume paramedic series, which is out through Delmar Cengage Learning. And so I've been speaking to people about that. It's, you know, new, kind of the new kids on the block, answering a lot of questions and those type of things. So I really didn't get an opportunity.
There was a good band.
Okay. Nice. Okay, there we go.
And
does this make us a boy band since we're all male and we're this four of us?
Yeah, I tell you what. I watched the new
Sorry, Dr. A.
I watched the Rockin' New Year's Eve thing. And, you know, boy bands should not get back
together. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it
was just
sad.
We could have Nat, Justin Bieber.
Kyle can join us. Kyle can join us as the fifth member.
I'd rather have the Bieber medic back.
He would be the unknown member, like the fifth Beatle.
Yes.
we're bringing the band back together.
We love you, Kyle.
Oh, my gosh.
We can bust on him because he's
so
out
you
of here.
You haven't heard anything that didn't vibe anything?
Honestly, this is the one.
They're all coming by just going, we're not worthy.
No, they're not doing that. No, actually, this is one conference that I have not hit any of the sessions.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, we know what that's like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The busier we get, the less we see.
And we try to bring the sessions here.
And well, we're getting better at that.
Yeah, we are doing that. Well, it's been good because we had Steve Barry yesterday. We had Brent Myers on.
Jealous that you had Steve Barry here. I'm just going to say that.
He was funny. Have you heard of that guy?
He's got some he's got some humor to him.
Yeah.
I've heard.
No, I mean, he really is a great guy. And I think that he's maybe the first person that I recognize that maybe we shouldn't take ourselves so seriously. So he's great.
Carissa O is back.
At Carissa, does she have a product of the show she wants to share? Man, I got to give up my chair.
No. I'm going to give up my chair.
No, I don't want to. I've been talking to her all week, dude.
I've been talking to her for weeks before that.
Okay, all right, fine. wait, let's flip a coin.
Wait,
fine. I haven't talked to you at all.
There you go.
Sorry about that, but I just haven't talked to you at all.
Are you tweeting that pic right now? Live on the air.
I am.
Okay, good.
Yeah, very cool. Who's got my phone? Natalie, are you me? Okay. Yeah. Everybody knows I can't type and talk at the same time.
You can't?
So I can't.
Wow.
Aren't you gum?
And apparently you can't drink and do karaoke either.
No. I will say I rocked Dixie Chicken last night.
That was awesome. No, I have to tell you.
I mean, come on.
That was great.
I was channeling,
good stuff.
I was channeling Lowell George there.
You were channeling a lot of people last night.
I was channeling. Yeah, I was.
Yeah, check the Twitter stream, Podmatic.
You know, we always say you miss a lot of things, but if you're here and you come to these events and you follow us and you'll find out where we're going after the show and who knows what you'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, we won't talk about that.
Okay, great.
I'm going to be apologizing.
What happens in Baltimore stays in Baltimore?
No, it gets tweeted everywhere.
The problem is, unfortunately, I live near Baltimore. So
it's like playing in your own backyard. Just don't
what
do
happens,
that.
Great. I'm hoping what happens in the convention center or in the immediate 1 mile radius stays within that
I don't
one
think
mile
so.
Radius.
No.
It goes like our no. fingers. Right,
Carissa,
come on up.
Come on up, Carissa. Oh. Carousel.
Carousel.
She hates me, and I love her. I know. I mean, before I step down, I get
just
the
want to
eye
thank
roll.
Everybody that's put up with all the noxious noise around us. You know.
I agree.
Yeah, we just want to thank you, and we will try to give you all just gracious and glorious plugs. And so, thanks for coming by.
There's the Squadcast guy. What's up, dude?
Woo-hoo! Nice to see you. Squadcast,
yeah, man. Yeah. Squadcast.
Tim.
You need to have a Greg Freeze voice. Hi, I'm Tim with the Squadcast.
How are you? All right. Great.
So I know Greg Freeze is online right now, and I'm throwing down the gauntlet now that we are doing a show.
Really?
In April.
Really?
A show?
That.
What?
Is.
You're
supposed to finish my sentences.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're going to do a show where everybody introduces themselves and talks like Greg Freeze for the first 10 minutes. And then you will have to vote online who you thought the real Greg Freeze was.
Hi.
So that'll be a lot of fun.
I like
that idea.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
So we're going to, I think it'll be the April Fool's Day.
Nice.
Session wow. like of the EMS Garage. It'll be fun.
You know, if I could just say.
Are you saying that I'm a fool?
In April.
That's all year round.
Oh, yeah, baby. Wow. So this is the lovely Carissa Karamanis O'Brien. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm happy that we're almost done, and I'm sure that most of these people are, too.
Especially the booths within earshot.
Oh, there you go. Like look that. At that. Oh, man.
Taking us
cool.
out there.
Finally. Finally, we get one of those.
Yeah, at the end.
Yep. Oh no! You're t- oh
wow!
Oh my goodness!
Wow, this is so special!
Oh my gosh! I'm putting that on
Wait,
my wall.
Wait, but we can't do this yet because we already started and we're not stopping yet. So we'll save it.
But you know, I'll need like four or five retakes, and it'll be fine.
Especially this week.
Oh my gosh! I'm just my mojo is not working in front of that camera. I don't know what's going on. I think I'm all like blah. Anyway. So, tell us your story.
Tell you my story.
Yes, from the show floor.
Do we have an hour?
This is not therapy. It may look like therapy, and you're surrounded by many people. Oh, that's AA.
No,
this would be.
Hi, my name is Jeff.
No,
hi,
Jeff. Like
and I'm a
EMS
like junkie.
We need therapy.
Me too. We love you. I'm sorry, we're having our own show over here. Sorry about that.
I love it. It's great.
Hi.
Hi. Anyway, yes, sorry, Carissa.
What did I get myself into?
I know. You wanted me here. I told you could have had Jamie, but no, kick him off the show. Have me. All right. So what is your product of the show?
My product of the show, I actually just found 10 minutes ago.
Nice.
But I thought it was really cool. So it's powered by the American Ambulance Association, actually. And it's called Invisible Bracelet. Have you heard of this?
Oh, yes, I have.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cool, and I'm surprised I hadn't heard of it before now.
Wow.
I know.
I know something before you.
I know. It's apparently it can happen once.
Common. Oh, right. So show us the Invisible Bracelet.
Yeah, so this is the Invisible Bracelet. It comes in a few different formats. But there's like little key tags you can print off.
Okay.
There's these little teeny labels that can be placed. So like say, you know, these are intended for a person in the community, right? So they could take this little tag, say you're a bicyclist, put it on your helmet.
Oh.
Perhaps you have some sort of ID bracelet, you could put this on there. Okay. And or you could just use the little key tags or the, put the card in your wallet. So there's a number of different whatever works for you, right? But in the event of an emergency, you can the responder can tag it, put this code in, and instantly bring up basically a pre-filled out EPCR. I mean, it's all the patient data right there.
Is it so, like their demographic data, all of their medical history,
all that? So, you know, obviously could fill in some major gaps in the event that you can't take a history from a patient. You've got the information right there. And it's super simple. And they just, I had this little piece of paper with their marketing stuff on it that it shared a new feature they have, which is text-based, because we know that the greatest level of access right now is through mobile devices.
Yes.
Pretty, you know, that's the fastest growing in the community and wide. So they have a simple text system that anyone can use. It's not just for EMS providers, but you text the simple code and then you punch in the code that you found on the person, and it brings up a HIPAA compliant amount of data to at least fill in that gap between, finding the person and getting them to care.
Wow.
So I thought that was really cool. And at least that new addition to, quickly getting the patient to that first step of care.
Well, that's what I was just going to ask you. This is something that's stored online. So, with privacy concerns and everything, I would assume it's secure.
It is secure. And like I said, this text-based thing is it's open to everyone, but it's HIPAA compliant. So it's secure and it's like I said, it fills in that gap. And I think it's a great next step.
Now, is it only for you? I know you said other people can use it, but is it only for EMS providers or is it for all medical providers?
Well, I think the focus is to get the word out amongst EMS providers because naturally,
right.
they're the first response, but it obviously ties in to the hospital. So they have the ability to then share that data once they have it and connect to the hospital networks and have that be a part of the transferring the patient. So
now, how do I know that if I enter that information, that's the patient that's on my cot? If I enter that and maybe I transpose a number, what happens? You didn't really think about it. You didn't ask that question.
I didn't
I messed that up. You're not the expert. I should
I'm not the expert. I didn't ask that question. I suppose, I don't know if there's something built into the codes to validate whether you've at least have a valid code.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm not sure. We'll have to ask the good folks at the American Ambulance Association. The other really cool aspect too, again, kind of filling in the gap, is there's the ability to connect to like ICE contacts or family and friends that are connected to this. So, so once you punch in the code, it actually will enable you to automatically notify whoever they've determined as their contacts. So they can be en route to the hospital while you're transporting the patient and the patient arrives in the ambulance at the same time that their family member is there to then provide the rest of the history.
That's
so that's pretty great.
Does the provider need to have an access to the system, or is it all through that card?
So it's online based. So yes, there needs to be some access, and that's where they're trying to get the word out to make sure that systems are prepared for this. Right? It's all very it's a very simple process, but obviously we need to get. They need to get some awareness and education out there so systems are prepared. I guess they're working with a couple of companies right now, like Rubbermaid. They've worked out a workplace program so that they're promoting it throughout their employee base. And then they've worked with the systems in the area of their headquarters to make sure that, EMS is obviously prepared to know what to do with these when they start seeing them. They're working on some sort of partnership with BMW as well to get the word out. So right now I think the focus for them being here and sharing the word is to make sure that EMS systems are more aware of this, simple program, and that they're tied in. I guess there's a 5-minute training that they offer. It's that simple.
Cool.
So they're just trying to get the word out and get people trained so that more can benefit from it.
So do I have to pay anything for that? Excuse me. I don't have to pay anything for it?
Nope. Free.
Who funds it?
I don't know.
Amazing. Wow. Okay.
It's a service of the American Ambulance Association. I'm sure that, maybe we'll get them on at some point and they can...
Well, maybe
they can be more expert
than I. Okay, sorry. Hey, it's your product of the show.
Better than I managed in 10 minutes.
I agree. No. Yeah. Well, and I guess the final thing I was thinking about with that, it's kind of like that old File of Life program we used to have where you'd stick the file in the freezer, you'd put all your information in it, and then you'd have to take it out, and it'd all be, old Hot Pockets
freezer
on there
burn.
Or something. Yeah. So thank you. Good job.
It's one step up from that, I guess, at least.
So beyond that, what's been the highlight of the show?
You.
Okay. Next topic.
I couldn't possibly pick one. I mean,
see, I would have chosen Dr. Anonymous, but whatever.
Man.
I gotta say, he's on that list. I'm pretty excited to be sitting next to him on a podcast.
Oh,
right
I thought
now.
It was the bad list. I didn't know which list
that
was.
That's the naughty list.
You might be on both.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
No, but I gotta say, I'm really excited with what we did here in the podcast studio this year.
I am too.
12 shows over 2.5 days, essentially.
Is this our biggest booth ever? It's big.
This is our biggest booth. This is our biggest crew.
Yes.
We live streamed every show for the first time. We live streamed before the show even opened. So
I know.
I'm very excited about that. And we really took it to the next level, I think. I'm excited. You know, we had a lot of fun with folks out on the floor doing some fun video. We did the cook-off, which was awesome. And I guess, I'm really excited that, we had a really great partnership with the folks at GEMS and EMS today. And, I think they really made us feel like an extension of their team at the show, which was nice. And, already talked with them about, how to move forward and do some more great stuff. So, they're excited to build this, the content that we've created this week into their platform on GEMS.com. And so folks that are listening can expect to see it not only on our network at promednetwork.com, but with GEMS and EMS today too.
Well, and I think that what you're talking about is important for me because we have had so many sponsors and even this episode is sponsored by LadTech and it's been nice that they come alongside us. They want to support what we're doing. They see the value in it and it just makes the production that much better and we can serve people that couldn't even make it.
Yeah.
And that's exciting.
Yeah. And I'm really grateful and excited to be working. We had Zoll this year, which they've been a sponsor in the past and they continue to support our work. And that's because they're getting the value out of it. They don't only see the value in what we provide, but they're getting it in return. And so they continue to come back as a sponsor because they're getting that return on their investment, which is great. And we love working with them.
Yep.
We had two new sponsors, Medtronic Foundation, that really exciting with their heart rescue project. They had that big kickoff this week and tons of energy around that. I mean, the amount of smarts in the room during their kickoff luncheon was just looking around at the people in the room and it was really impressive and really excited about what they're going to do there. So that's great. And then LadTech, totally new on our radar, really excited. I mean, I know we've had them on shows in the past, but they're a new sponsor and, they really came through with a ton of energy to dive in and work with us and they got a great crew over there. So I'm excited to help them out with their content too.
Oh, and I love when tech companies get what we do because we're tech and we're EMS, but we're kind of this hybrid mix that people don't quite get yet. And it's nice when a company like that comes alongside us and says, hey, we're going to support you. So it's really good.
And it's great that, I think we clearly have something new to offer for EMS.
Right.
And it's great that, the folks like GEMS see that and they see the value in collaborating with us. So it's
very cool.
Anne's being goofy and on camera.
No, she wasn't being goofy.
She's telling us to wrap it up.
Yeah, she's like, wrap it.
Wrap it up.
Wait, but the show floor is open another half hour. I thought we could podcast forever. Oh, okay, I'm teasing. I want to keep talking.
Podcast
I like hearing myself
forever.
Talk. Yeah, anyway.
I like hearing yourself talk.
Oh, really?
Yes, exactly right.
Can you hear me?
He was talking.
Can you hear me now?
So, Dr. Anonymous.
Yes, sir.
What have you enjoyed about your one evening here?
Yeah, I've been here about 18 hours, and it's been just great just meeting people. and just following people out there on social media, meeting them in person, just talking with them. And even though I've been here just a short amount of time, I feel like I've known a lot of people already just by interacting with them and them interacting with me. And I've learned a lot outside, you know, of my sphere, you know, as far as family medicine and primary care and learning how all of this stuff integrates together. I said that before. And it's great seeing how all of you are using social media in different ways. There's stuff that I'm going to learn and hopefully that I can do for my specialty to say, hey, you know, family medicine can do social media too, and this is an example of it, and I can help you with that. Those are the connections that I value at going forward and trying to do what I want to do as far as for family medicine and social media.
Couldn't have said it better. Now, well put. Do you envision your, because you were the cover of Medical Economics in December. Or December 3rd issue.
That's right.
I know. Very nice. Right.
Thank you. Thank you.
He looked really good on it, except he was typing on a 386 DX from 1992 in the picture.
That was the trivia question, which you got correct, so you are the man.
All right.
That's right.
Yeah. Maybe it was a 486. I couldn't. You said it was a 92, circa 92.
Exactly right.
386.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You can't even get the internet on that thing.
No.
I think you were probably...
That was pre-internet.
Yeah. Well, he might have been rocking... With that would have been Internet Explorer 3. Wow.
Yeah.
You can't even get Twitter on that.
Yeah, it was going to blow up when I tried to upload Twitter. It was pretty bad.
I think the internet actually went, whoa, we can't even have this.
Tried to transport it through time.
But thank you for mentioning that. It was right. Something I'm pretty proud of, and it's opened a lot of opportunities for me, and it's great. I mean, I've been on social media for about 4 or 5 years now. I can't believe it's been that long. But just, you know, doing it for this long, when I talk to people who are just interested in it or want to dabble in it, I'm like, just dive in and do it.
Right.
You have no idea what possibilities that you're going to have. You know, when I finished medical school, when I finished my residency, if you told me years later, I'd be, you know, giving lectures at a medical school or at a conference about this thing called social media or Twitter or Facebook, I think you'd be nuts.
Right.
You know, so it's just experimenting with it, you know, learning about it. Something that I tell docs all the time, because docs are, you know, very, you know, afraid of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And especially from primary care standpoint, patients are going to drive physicians to do this.
Right.
Because every day in my office, I get printouts from WebMD and that type of stuff. Well, what is this? What is that? You know, what do you think of it? Is it good information? Is it bad information? So from my aspect, what I'm trying to do for physicians is just trying to educate them. That's where they're at. I mean, you know, the EMS community is so far ahead of where physicians are, and that's why I'm trying to learn, just to help physicians in the baby steps with social media.
Well, and I think it's part of it's generational, but I think the other piece of it is – you now have the e-patient, really. I mean, that's what it's about, and they are they're more connected. And but I think one of the gentlemen in the article that you were the beautiful centerfold of the entire magazine on, by the
way.
Thank
you very much.
It was awesome. Yeah,
that's right.
I was checking out yourself.
I didn't even know you could wear a lab coat that way. I know.
Nice.
I, you know, hey, we lost a clean tag when he said crap, so we're fine.
We'll just edit all this out later, so you'll be fine.
I'll edit it out. Yeah. It'll be fine. Yeah. No, well, you have the e-patient, and you have... God, I can't even remember my train of thought now after I went that way. Now I remember. So the physician in there was saying that we're friends with our patients outside of work, you know, and yeah, we have been for generations. Oh,
yeah,
that was you. I thought it was some other
that was
dude.
Me.
Okay.
Something that I get questions a lot is, you know, do I friend my patients on Facebook? And that's a huge discussion point in the physician community
it's
right now.
HIPAA. It's
exactly.
Yeah.
So there's people all across the board. There's physicians that there are a lot of physicians. When you sign up to be a new patient in their office, in their clinic, they have you sign something saying, I will not talk about any kind of patient thing. I am not allowed to be on Facebook if I'm a patient of this practice. There are like gag orders from physicians. That's a huge thing these days.
Well, where do you stand on the issue, though?
Well, I mean, just like I said in the article, you know, patients and physicians have been friends even before the internet.
Right.
You know, so, and I practice in a small town, and, you know, I see my patients all the time, you know, in the grocery store or wherever. And, you know, people think, well, you know, it's unfair access, or, you know, they're going to take advantage of that relationship. Me in a small town, no, I haven't seen that, because we have great people where we live. And I'm like everybody else. You know, I'm very selective of who I friend on Facebook. But there are some patients that I do, and I have no problem with that. And in the physician community, it's all over the board. There's some saying absolutely no, and there's some people saying, maybe, and there's some people saying, I have no problem with it. So that's a lot of discussions in the physician community on social media these days.
Mm-hmm. It's really coming to a head, this whole question and the process of figuring it out. And
right.
And whole hospitals are struggling with exactly what their policies should be.
Right. I mean, it's just now that there's some policies that are coming out for hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
And from a physician standpoint, you know, the three things that I've seen is, you know, patient privacy, liability, and payment. For things like email with patients.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the major three hurdles that I see from a physician standpoint of why they're saying, I don't want anything to do with social media.
Yeah. And I think from the hospital perspective, and it's really what applies to EMS systems and departments, is thinking, you know, about some of the thinking ahead as far as from a policy and a practice perspective of some of the ethical challenges that are going to come up based on the interaction that you're going to receive.
Exactly.
And, you know, I've talked a fair amount about this with some folks at Children's Hospital in Boston. Matt Sear at Children's Hospital manages their blogs, the Thrive blog, which is their pediatric health blog, and Vector, their science blog. And he and I are actually going to be on a panel on social-powered ethics at the South by Southwest conference in Austin next week.
Great plug.
Yeah.
Thanks.
If you're at South by Southwest. Yeah,
we won't be there.
I won't be there. I can't afford to.
Yeah. Oh,
that's sxsw.org. You can find my panel there. No. No, but what, you know, we've been talking about, you know, some of the challenges that they've faced as far as some of the proactive, and they maintain an open wall, which is a really big step for an organization of their magnitude and in the clinical space. But they feel that's really important for community engagement, and I couldn't agree more. That's what I counsel my clients on. But it requires really careful management, right? And they've faced some real tough challenges as far as some of the interaction, and they still, you know, the point is, it's an iterative process.
Exactly.
Realizing that there is no one solution, there is no one policy that's going to outline exactly how you handle every case, and it's about creating a flexible policy and a culture at the organization, among your physicians, among everyone, that recognizes how to take a step back and be really smart about how you proceed.
The Mayo Clinic has been a leader in this. They have a whole center of social media, so they have taken that step.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just in the past 6 months where organizations like the American Medical Association and organizations like the Ohio State Medical Association have given their members guidelines that were never there before. So there was never any kind of rules of the road when it comes to physicians. So I'm glad that some of the national organizations are starting to come out with that.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, we're expecting later this month to the FDA to give us
exactly
a small teeny piece.
Oops.
We're getting the
I know.
We're getting the big hug.
Negative 5 minutes to go. That means we have another 5 minutes, right?
That's right,
T-minus 30 seconds.
I did that exact 28. Same thing the other day.
Okay. I think
except mine was on an iPad. What's your problem, man? You can't move up?
That's a notepad.
Ooh, nice.
We're eating up time.
Yeah, we are. Okay, I've got to go. All right, so Dr. Myers, because I want to talk about this. I think we ought to do an episode on it. And I want to talk about patient privacy.
Didn't we just do an episode?
No, that was a two-minute talk.
This was
kind of an episode. Yeah. No, but I really want to bring everybody on because I think you would have to deal with that in your photography business, mm-hmm. And and dealing, if you're shooting patients or not, and I think that that's a huge concern and a lot of things going on in EMS and lawsuits and Facebook and the cell phones. We've talked about that a little bit, but this new idea of friending your patients, interesting. I think we need to do it. We need to talk about it, and it should be an open discussion because we've got to do it. And I want to do it before her South by Southwest panel so we can, you know, completely hijack your show.
No, March 14th, you better hurry.
I won't have any energy.
Next Thursday, Chris.
Next Thursday, yeah. We'll do it right now. Well, thank you guys very much. We'll get Jamie back up here in a second. Carissa, where can people find you?
Carissa O on Twitter, carissao.com, and of course, promednetwork.com.
And your sweet new website with the little thing on the side.
Yeah, nice job. No, somebody on this table may or may not have helped me with.
I helped you a little bit.
Thank you, guys.
That was a ploy to get you to say thanks. So anyway... I know you did. I'm teasing. Thanks for coming on. Jamie, you got to get up here so we can wrap up the show. Dr. Myers, where can people find you?
I can be found on Facebook or at my website at photoemsdoc.com, photoemsdoc.com.
Very cool. Thank you, sir. And Dr. Anonymous, where can people find you?
Of course, the ProBed Network. Thank you for having me on. And just Google Dr. Anonymous, dranonymous.com. That will get you all the information about me. And it was great to be here. It was great just to kind of sit up and just make fun of people. It's been a good time.
That's this show.
That's the point.
We are the EMS show about nothing. EMS Garage. Now, see, unfortunately, Jamie always has a topic, and he's... you know, well-spoken and a nurse.
And that is hard.
I know it's hard. That's why I do nothing, because it's great. It's easy.
That's why I like coming on the garage once in a while, because it's just great to be on the show that's not mine.
Yeah,
and I can
exactly.
just treat you like crap.
That's crap.
That's normal every day.
Oh, I want to do something real quick. I just want to thank... I try to make an effort to thank
Miller.
All of the people that are around us putting up with our noise. And... you know, sometimes they look and they say, well, they're setting speakers up, and my God, they're loud. And, you know, we take care of the folks that are around us. So, first, Al Miller at Miller Coach Company. It's not Miller or McCoy Miller. It's Miller Coach Company, millercoach.com. They've been right next to us, and they've had people, like, checking out their amazing ambulance and putting up with all the noise. So thanks to Al for checking that out, and you guys should check out his site. The guys at StatBand available. You can find them at statband.com. Just a triage tag, just something different. But they've been right next to us. And Microflex, everybody knows Microflex. They make the gloves, you know. Jamie says scene they safety, love. BSI. This is the BSI I'm talking about. This is the kind I actually use in my service. And
love Microflex.
Good job. And, of course, also next to us, one of our picks.
Yep, Spencer It.
Spencer It. If you want to take care of your patients, Spencer It. So Spencer.IT. I'm taking over your PR agency, by the way, folks. so I just wanted to make sure we did that before we wrap.
Absolutely, absolutely. So how about this? You wrapped the show. I think I wrapped yesterday. So you wrapped today. I'm Chris Montero, Geeky Medic, on all the websites. There you go.
Wrap the show.
Yeah, yeah, this has been a joint episode of EMS Garage.
Yeah. Again, the boy band Gmail. Reunions just aren't working.
Oh, my.
Wow. You two guys, we need to do a doc show.
I know. I agree.
I'll help you produce it. It won't be extra work for you. We'll just do a doc show, get you two going talking about, like, stuff.
Nothing. Yes,
you could be the we could come the
paradox.
Oh.
Oh.
Wow. All somebody right. Google that now and take that name.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Kyle's writing that down.
Man. You know paradox.com is taken.
No, but paradox.
P A I R A D O C S.
Paradox.
Yes.
Duh. Boy, it has been a long time.
Double entendre.
Kyle, you throw like a girl.
Oh. Wow. Our -5 has gone to -10.
Yes. All right. So listen, hey, Chris Montero from EMS Garage.
Yep, geekymedic@gmail.com, or you can go emsgarage@gmail.com, or just find us, emsgarage.com. I don't even know that. Why don't I know that?
It's not like you have a show on every week.
No, whatever.
You record those intros and outros later when you sound like the late night jazz DJ.
No, I do it when I have a cold.
Hi, this is Chris Montero from the EMS Garage.
I know I do it when I have a cold.
All right, and then I know, we're wrapping it up.
All right, go.
Chris is giving me the evil eye.
I'm and Jamie so Davis. Is Anne. Did you see that?
Well, I like Anne's evil eye.
Whoa.
Evil eye. I said evil eye. I'm Jamie Davis, the Podmedic. I just want to thank, again, EMS Today for having us here, EMS Today 2011, Gems.com, Elsevier, AlladTech for sponsoring the podcast studio.
And this episode.
And this episode. And check out all the links in the show notes for this episode. It's a joint EMS Garage Medicast episode. Of course, you can find the Medicast at medicast.com/blog. And I will also remind you, all the shows, all the great programs, and many, many more that we had here, including the Dr. Anonymous show.
Thank you, sir.
Are available over at promednetwork.com. So if you're looking for something else to listen to in your week, we have shows by physicians and nurses and psychologists and researchers in virology and neurology. I mean, it's an EMS, 40 shows encompassing healthcare in all fields. Available at promednetwork.com. And again, it's been a pleasure to be here. Already looking forward to next year. If you haven't been here, which of course, if you're listening to this now, you aren't here, but you need to be here next year in Baltimore.
Yes,
and
it's
get
back
to
in
EMS
Baltimore.
Today, good. 2012, and you too can come out on our karaoke night.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're going to go back to Max's next year if they
That'll
still have
fun.
The karaoke.
That'll
be fun. All right. Hey, listen, I'm Jamie Davis, the Podmedic. We'll be back again with another episode real soon. In the meantime, please remember, people, scene safety, BSI.
You really just did that. Awesomely. Yeah,
really?
That was awesome.
Been doing it for 5 years.
That was
perfect.
That was the best closing ever.
That might have been the best. Is that
ever.
Mean we're done?
That's the BSI scene.
Right, right.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Is that what you do?
That's the wave.
I end every show that way because I want people to remember to be safe. And every now and then I have to explain to Europeans, what's BSI? Body
Let's be safe
Universal precautions. Yeah, because I couldn't. That was taken.
Yeah, it was.
Right? So I had to do that.
I was thinking of something else.
This is like negative 20 minutes now.
Yeah,
we're done.